Justin just commented that he should have played Dreams, and you know what? I don't disagree. I don't disagree. This is fine too, though. You got anything to say for yourself?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. All right, this is Run It Up. We are in hour number two from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios here at Fox Sports Knoxville. And White Claw Hard Seltzer is crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. Only 100 calories and now available in 8 refreshing flavors. Count them, 8. Ocho, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. All right, Henry. Henry Slizer's on the line with us. He's sticking with us for a full hour of NFL football talk with football guys. We move on now to the new Sunday night football game amidst concerns with COVID. NBC decided to flex Seattle and Arizona into the primetime spot instead of Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. I'm not complaining. They're both great matchups, but this is the game that will cap things off on Sunday. Now, just initially, what do you make of this matchup?
Barn burner.
Oh, yeah.
Both these defenses, I know, Peyton, I know the Cardinals right now have the statistically, they have the second best defense
in the NFL. Good.
Statistically, their defense is not very good. I want to make that very clear.
Okay,
or
that.
Cardinals defense is not very good. They played a great game last week against a team in the Dallas Cowboys who had none of their starters on their offensive line who started the year starting in that game. Or excuse me, Zach Martin started, but he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So for the majority of the game, backups on the offensive line. No Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are a bad team. They're a poorly coached team. They had no O-line. Their franchise quarterback, well, maybe franchise quarterback, is out for the year. The Cowboys are not a very good team. The Cardinals look great against them. They looked great against the Jets. The Cardinals looked really good against the Redskins. And they looked good against the 49ers team that lost George Kittle. Raheem Mostert didn't have Deebo Samuel.
Right.
So they're a team that's played well against teams that are either beat up or just not very good, or a mixture of both. So they lost to the Lions. They got torn up by the Lions.
Well, they threw like 4 interceptions in that game, but yeah.
Yeah, the Lions offense also isn't that bad, but still. This is a team that did not play great defense against the Panthers. They didn't play great defense against the Lions. I know Kyler turned the ball over a lot, but still. So this is a defense that I think the jury should still be out on, and I don't think they're very good. Now, their offense, on the other hand, has been okay. They still need to figure some stuff out. I still don't really think they have a guy outside of DeAndre Hopkins. I know the past few weeks they've gotten more guys involved. Christian Kirk has been more involved. Andy Isabella has been a little bit more involved. But they still don't have that true second guy outside of Hopkins. So, well,
I guess that's kind of where I wanted to go next, which is when you look at this offense, it really shouldn't just be DeAndre Hopkins, but the lion's shares of the targets have gone that way. I mean, rightfully so. It's DeAndre Hopkins. He might be the best receiver in football. He's certainly top two. But he's gotten 61 targets, and the next closest guy is Fitz at 29, and behind that, it's Christian Kirk at 24. And it's just like, I thought that Christian Kirk was going to be a bigger part of this offense. I thought they were going to throw it to Andy Isabella, Trent Sherfield, all these guys that are a part of this offense. They made you so excited because last year they were productive, right? They had other players making plays, but now you add this alpha talent into the mix and you expect them to take the leap, and I think they swung a little bit too far towards Hopkins and it's hurt their offense. Do you agree with that?
I don't think it's hurt. I just think they're still trying to figure out ways to get everybody involved, and I think the issue is, outside of Hopkins and Fitz, I love him, but he's old. outside of those two guys, they have a bunch of receivers who do the exact same thing. They have a bunch of little slot guys who are fast and do the exact same thing. They don't have another game changer. I think Christian Kirk is good. He's not a game changer. Andy Isabella can be a solid piece, but he's not a game changer. So I don't think they just, weirdly, they lack diversity on offense. Kenyon Drake has had trouble getting going and getting involved.
Yeah.
And the early in this year, I know he had kind of a big game against the Cowboys, but it's the Cowboys.
Right, it's the Cowboys.
So the Cardinals, I'm still a team that I'm a little hesitant to jump on board with. But on the other hand, the Seahawks are undefeated because of Russell Wilson. Without Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are one of the worst teams in football. The Seahawks give up a lot of points, but they also score a lot of points. So I think we're looking at a game that both teams are going to score in the 30s, at least. I think the Seahawks are going to win because here's exactly what's going to happen. The Cardinals are going to take the lead, and they're just going to leave a little too much time on the clock, and Russ is going to go down and score.
It could.
So this is a matchup where we're going to see a lot of offense and not a whole lot of defense.
But I think so,
too. I'm
here
for it. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I think the big thing is Kyler just can't turn the ball over. If Kyler plays up to the level that we've seen him play at throughout this year, even at the back end of last year, we're probably looking at a matchup of undefeateds. I mean, I don't think that the Cardinals are worse than the two teams that they've lost to. Would you agree with me there?
No, I don't think they are. I think they're just as good, if not a little better than both those teams. And I think they are better than both those teams.
Yeah, they should have beat Detroit. They should have beat Carolina. And it's a young team that has been a little bit inconsistent. Sorry to cut you off there, but I do want to get this out. They're playing a bad defense. It is just time to call Seattle what they are, with or without their full complement. Jamal Adams is supposed to come back in this game, and I just don't see it making that big of a difference because it wasn't that big of a difference before he got hurt. This defense is second to worst in total pass defense in the NFL. They've allowed 1,852 yards, and that's despite having a bye week, Henry. Most of the teams in the league have not, and they're still second to last. They're averaging 370 yards per game in the air. So for me, this is like, okay, Kyler, you got to tear them up in this game. We can't have the turnovers. Let's see where you are. Let's get an ultrasound on where Kyler Murray is in his progression, because if he struggles in this game, he's just not ready yet for this kind of environment. This is really the first high-leverage game of his career.
Here's the thing about Kyler. If I like Kyler, and Kyler shows flashes of being this electric player, this game changer, the problem is he doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
We see flashes of it. Last week, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a point where he was like 8 for 20 with three passing touchdowns and 230 yards.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, It wasn't 230, excuse me, but it was a very, very high number for the amount of passes he completed. So it's just not confusing, but it's like you got to do it for the whole game. You can't do it for spurts. You got to do it consistently, and he hasn't done that yet. Now we're saying all this, and I think we're forgetting he's a second-year player.
Yeah, sure.
He's still figuring out the NFL. He's playing with a team that's still figuring out how to win. He's playing with a coach that's still figuring out how to manage a team in the NFL. These things take time. I think Kyle will be just fine. And I think I'm going to say this, a little message to Cardinals fans. Cardinals fans expect the world from Kyler Murray.
Yeah, he's a number one pick.
They expect him to be an MVP. They expect him to be that right now. The thing is, you got to give it a little bit of time. These things don't happen overnight. the big thing for me is that he's a young player who keeps you in games. He's won you football games this year, and he's going to have moments where he's not good. He's mm-hmm. been in the dude has, right now, he has 22 starts under his belt.
Yeah.
You got to give him a little, you got to give him time, and you got to be patient. He's gonna figure it out. He's going to put it all together. And I think he'll put it together soon. But you just got to be patient with him. He's a really good football player, but he's young. That's all it is.
Yeah. No, I think there's something to that, and that's going to explain the up and down. But it is hard because you're living in a world where the standard now for second-year quarterbacks has become Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. And that's not necessarily fair to the guy, but I don't know. I feel like if we see flashes like this in year two, since he was the starter from day one last year, it's time for it to become a little bit more consistent. And I'm not saying it hasn't been. I'm also not saying it has been. So this is a big prove-it game for me with Kyler. We're starting to figure out what these teams are. And I've said that throughout the last couple weeks. This is kind of that dog day stretch in the NFL where things start to sharpen and focus. And with Arizona, you beat San Francisco early in the year. Like you said, they were a little bit banged up. Let's see if you can do it again. You've not played anybody of note since then. So let's see if you can go on a Sunday night football game. I believe this is Kyler's Sunday night debut. And go and beat the Seattle team that I don't think is all that great. They've got a fantastic offense. Russ is having a ridiculously good year. A rusticulously good year. But they're beatable. Arizona, I think, might be a better football team than the Seattle Seahawks. So, let's see it. Who do you have in this one?
I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think Russ right now is playing like the best quarterback in football.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not. It's still Pat, but he's playing like it.
I don't know. This year?
No, No. I will not entertain this. No.
Peyton, listen to me. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football.
Yes.
Russell Wilson has played better than him this year. Russell Wilson has been the best quarterback in the NFL this year.
He has been good.
Come on. They
played nobody. If Pat Mahomes had played five teams with losing records to start the year, we're having a different conversation. He's at 25 touchdowns.
Listen. I know Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And when the season's done, we might be having a different conversation. But Russ has been the best quarterback in the NFL this year. And without him, Seattle is a one-win team. They're a one, maybe two-win team.
Sure,
Seattle
absolutely.
Bad. They're a bad team. Russ makes them great. Russ makes them a good team. Sorry, words are hard. Russ makes them a good team. Russ makes them a contender in the NFC. I don't think this Cardinals defense is good enough to shut down Russ. I don't think any defense is good enough to shut down Russ. So I'm going to take the Seahawks here in a barn burner. Man, I feel weird taking this. I like to lean lower-ish scores, but screw it. Let's go 44-37 Seahawks.
Sheesh.
I'm going to go with a really high score for this game.
As good as Las Vegas Tampa is going to be, and we'll cover that game later, I do think this is worthy of the Sunday night game because it's going to be very entertaining. Justin, yeah, I'm going to let you pick it.
Seahawks till they burn me.
Okay.
Yeah, Seattle's coming off on a bye week. So, yeah, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals won big last weekend. Well, I think Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf will have a huge game. Give me the Seahawks.
I am going to go with the Cardinals. I think this is the week that they get exposed for their defense. Seattle is going to give up a lot of points. They're going to get down early, and I don't think Russ is going to be able to bring them back in every single game. He might, but this defense is probably the best one they've faced so far, and that's not saying a lot. Again, I'm just going to I love Russ cooking. He's great. He's awesome. He's a top three quarterback in the NFL without a doubt. Can we just slow down? They have played nobody, and he's had to bring them back several times. Like, can we just slow down? If Patrick Mahomes was playing this kind of schedule, he would have 19 touchdowns too. I'm fairly confident in that fact. speculative, dumb radio maybe, but that's just what I believe. Call me a homer if you want. Carolina at New Orleans. We got to go quick here. We're behind schedule. We spent a lot of time on that last game. Is there anything of note? Because this game sprung out to me because Carolina's 3-3, not out of the divisional hunt. What do you think of this one?
Payne, I like Carolina a lot.
I do too.
What Matt Rule's doing. I love what Matt Rule's doing. I think we've talked about them before. I think they're going to be a team that is going to give playoff teams a lot of trouble down the stretch. They're going to be a spoiler team.
Yeah.
They're not going to make the playoffs. It's year one. They're building a great culture. Matt Rule has got a great thing going on down there. They've got tons of good young pieces.
Sure.
They're just not ready yet. They're still a team that's learning how to win. They're still figuring themselves out, figuring out their identity. But they're a good team. Do not get me wrong. They are a good team. I think New Orleans is a team. They've been a very good team the last few years, but I think we're starting to see the downfall of the New Orleans Saints. Now, really quick, Peyton, New Orleans has done a really good job of keeping things in-house, keeping everything private and inside their own building. Why in the world would they release something that Michael Thomas, a player who had been hurt for basically the whole season.
And by the way, he's hurt again now.
Yeah, I know he's hurt again, but a week before a bye, what? Why would they come out and say, we're suspending him because he got into a fight with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins?
Which happens.
It happens. Why would you come out and give the reason, give the people he got in fights with, and give these details a week before a bye week for a player who got injured? If this happens, teams do this all the time. You mentioned stuff like this happens. But why wouldn't you just say, we're sitting him down this week to make sure he's healthy after the bye? Why wouldn't you do that? And Peyton, I've got a reason why I think they might have done this.
I'm interested in it. I know that he had been vocal in saying he was not happy that he didn't play the prior week. What do you think was going on there, Henry? You've intrigued me.
Well, you know, the Saints have one of the worst cap situations in the NFL.
Don't say it. You're really going to say they're going to try and trade Michael Thomas.
Hear me out, Peyton. The Saints have a ton of money on the cap.
Oh, it's bad.
They've got a lot of guys to pay, and it's bad.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas has a huge contract. He's a guy who's been a little bit, he's a diva. He's a big-time diva. I can see why he's had some trouble in the locker room. I'm not saying this is why they did it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why they would just come and release this for a team that has, historically in the last 10 years, since Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis have been there, have kept stuff in-house. I think they might have done this to try to bait teams to call and see if they can get something back. Because you mentioned there are some cracks in the foundation. Drew Brees doesn't have it anymore, Peyton. Watching that Chargers game a few weeks ago, he threw a touchdown to Jared Cook. He threw it about 30 yards, and it looks like he put everything he had.
Yeah, it's the best throw he's made all year.
Yeah, he doesn't have it anymore. Drew Brees is unbelievable. He's a great player. He's one of the best quarterbacks ever playing in the NFL. But his arm is shot. It's the same thing we saw with Peyton Manning. When your arm goes, it goes.
Yeah, it happens.
The Saints defense, they've got a lot of good players. They're dynamic. But their secondary is young, and they're not playing as disciplined and as well as they were last year. I don't think the Saints are as good as people think. The Saints are not a Super Bowl contender.
Well,
if anyone, they're not going to win their division.
I mean, you're all in on Tampa.
Dude, we just watched Tampa. Green
Bay. I know.
In the NFL, Tampa hung 38 on them.
I know.
Dominated.
And I don't want to spoil that because that's later in the show, and I know you've got strong opinions there. Just a couple things. I think what you said about the Panthers is true. This is a prototypical 8-8 team that shouldn't be 8-8, but it's about culture. It's about Matt Rule, and they do have good players. Like Robbie Anderson is a good player. DJ Moore is a good player. Ian Thomas is a good player. They've got guys on their defense, although it's not there yet.
The defense
it will.
Is young.
It will get there.
They got a lot of good players.
Yep, it will get there. I have no doubt in that. I trust in Joe Brady and what they're doing on offense. I kind of feel like Teddy, I love you, Teddy. I love your story. I kind of feel like Teddy's holding him back just a little bit, but I don't know. We feel very strongly about MVP Jay Walker on this program, so I'm going to reserve comment there. The one thing I'd say about Drew Brees that we need to calm down about is that the Saints as a unit, the receivers, are generating on average less than 3 yards of separation per route, which is one of the worst of any group in the league. When Michael Thomas gets back, that's going to help that a lot. Emmanuel Sanders, that number is going to go up. The Chiefs have 4 guys ahead right now on average separation created per route than the Saints' number one dude. That's not all on Drew Brees, although I think it's hard to watch him and see him play 60 minutes of high-level football because it doesn't happen. He's been erratic. I don't think the arm strength is gone, but it's not what it used to be, and that's because he's 40-plus years old. The Michael Thomas thing, you're wearing a tinfoil hat. I cannot get behind that. If they were going to trade him, they would just do it. They wouldn't try and tank his trade value before they did it. So that's my thoughts on that. We've got to get to a break, though. San Francisco and New Orleans and Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. You're going to want to stay tuned for that last one because Henry feels as strongly about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as I've ever seen anybody feel so strongly about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's up next on Run It Up, WKGM Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Justin Scarlett spinning it on a Thursday night. This is Run It Up. Henry Schleiser is on the line. We're running through divisional previews. I also realized as we hurtled into a break that we didn't pick the last game. So, Henry, in short, before we get to your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are you taking in that Saints-Panthers matchup?
Can't believe I'm about to do this. I like the Panthers. I think it's a divisional game. The Saints are coming out of a bye. I'm going to go with Carolina. I think Carolina's got, they've been playing good football. They played the Bears close last week. I think the Bears are a good team. So I think I'm going to take the Panthers.
Bridgewater.
I think they've got a little more momentum. I mean, I think they've got a chance to catch the Saints a step slow coming out of the bye.
Yeah. Bridgewater revenge tour. Justin, what say you?
Carolina, ride with Rule.
Oh, my goodness, you two. Will.
I'm going to go with Drew Brees,
okay.
VFL, Alvin Kamara, and Marquez Callaway and the Saints.
Logical man, because that is also what I'm doing. I hope Michael Thomas plays in this game because I'd feel a lot more comfortable. If he did, he's got a hamstring injury that he picked up in practice this week. But when he does come back, I do think the Saints will have been better for him not playing because other guys will have had that experience and be better for it. So I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. I don't think it's particularly close. New Orleans is starting to find their rhythm, I think. Okay. I've got on my rundown San Francisco, New England first. But I feel like we'd be doing a disservice to the listener if we didn't devote as much time as we needed to Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. John Gruden against his former team, knocking on wood. Tom Brady heading to Las Vegas to christen Allegiance Airline Stadium. Your Buccaneers coming off maybe the most resounding win in the NFL this year. This is huge. This is the biggest game the Raiders have played in probably since their playoff appearance, however many years ago this was. This is a legitimacy check game, I think, kind of in a lot of ways for both of them. I'm still not fully there with Tampa. There's some things that I believe in and some things I'm willing to admit I was wrong about. But, Henry, just sound off before we dig into it. What did seeing Tampa do what they did against Green Bay mean to you?
It put the league on notice.
Okay.
I've been saying it since way before the season started. All this talk of the Bucs have the worst secondary in the NFL. Their defense isn't very good. In the second half of last season, the Bucs had a top 5 secondary and passing defense in the NFL. Todd Bowles runs a super complicated defense. The schemes, they're super hard. They're super hard to pick up. They're super technical.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a little while for younger guys to pick them up. But once their younger guy, once the young guys in their secondary is very, very young, once they picked it up, they flipped the switch. And since, I think it was like week 8 of last year, they've been one of, if not the best secondary in the NFL. They've shut down. Look. Who has the best defense in the NFL right now? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I get it all.
Look. Devin White and Lavonte David are the best linebacker duo in the NFL.
I don't disagree.
Shaq Barrett, JPP.
Yep.
They add the two more guys who can give you 10-plus sacks a year.
Got it.
And then in the middle, I know you lost Vita Vea, but...
That's big.
But Nacho, and then you just trade for Steve McClendon. Two guys, you can't just replace Vita Vea and put in guys and expect them to play as well. But you can kind of mimic him, and you can get sort of the same effect, not to the extent that Vea will give you. But
right. He might be the best run-stopping nose guard slash defensive tackle in the NFL.
Yes. No, he is. But you can get guys. You got some guys who can eat double teams and just do what they have to and do their jobs, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah. No, I think a lot there, right, to unpack. This is a very complex team because there's a lot going on. You've got this secondary that I think is better than I thought they were. I'm willing to go there. I'm not willing to say they're great, but I don't know if they have to be. The front seven is so good that it may not matter. They get so much pressure. The thing that I miscalculated, the error in my calculus, Henry, was how good Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul were going to be. Because I thought they were on the backslide of their careers. They hadn't been that great over the last couple of years. Suh had been cut and released, it felt like, four times already. Jason Pierre-Paul had been solid, but not really anything to write home about. And those guys, because we all knew about Shaquille Barrett and what he did last year. But the other guys, the amount of pressure they've been able to generate, that's been the best part of this football team, is their defensive line, which doesn't make any sense because Tom Brady's there with all these weapons. But I don't know how you turn away from that, and if that's going to be true, I do have to reevaluate.
Listen, you look at their defense, and Ndamukong Suh just brings a nastiness. And
yeah, he steps
attitude.
On people.
Yeah, And say what you want about Ndamukong Suh. Personally, I don't like Ndamukong Suh. I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Chicago guy. Yeah, but Suh, to his credit, brings an attitude and a nastiness that I feel like all great defenses have.
Right.
And he's got it, and the Bucs are playing with it, and they're feeding off of it. And it is not time. It is now time to not talk about the Buccaneers defense as a good defense.
Yeah.
Or a great defense. It is time to talk about them as an elite defense. They're the best defense in the NFL. They've been playing like the best defense in the NFL. It's time to give them that respect. You saw what they did against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. You're right. Bakhtiari getting hurt was a lot of that. But yeah, you're not wrong.
Look. This is a team that... it's pretty new on a lot of fronts. Tom Brady coming in, Gronk coming in. They're a team that had a lot of moving parts coming into the year. And I think it didn't hurt this team, but not having a preseason or an off-season program or OTAs or a traditional training camp,
no, absolutely.
It kind of hurt them.
Yeah.
It hurt them. So they're just, I think, now really starting to find their footing and find their stride and figure out who they are. And they're a good football team. They're a great football team. I think I picked them to come out of the NFC before the season starts. And now that pick is looking better and better. I think they're the team that's coming out of the NFC this year.
Yeah.
I think they're really going to start to get rolling this week. I think the Raiders are a good team. They're a young team. They're still figuring out who they are and how to win. But I don't think this is a week where they surprise anybody. I think the Bucs go in. I think the Bucs roll this week. I think they move to 5-2. And they really start to stack the wins here.
Well, and I really do hope the offensive line of the Raiders has avoided this COVID scare, because I think their offensive line is the best in the NFL. And I really want to see what they can do against this defensive front, because I want to see what happens when a team is able to handle this defensive line and pick on that secondary. It is so young. There's not a single guy starting that is out of their second year in the NFL. Everybody is in their third or second or first year. There are some vulnerabilities to take advantage of. But I keep coming back to with this Buccaneers team, Tom Brady under pressure has been the worst under pressure quarterback in the NFL. He's doing all the deep stuff. It looks nice. It looks good. Everybody's like, Tom Brady's back. But Tom Brady has been average this year for large stretches. Are you more at this point, has the scale tipped to where you're more confident in the defense than the offense?
Yes. But that's not a knock on the offense.
No.
That's just a no to the defense. Hey, and they're elite.
No, they feel like they're straight out of 2005. The team in Madden is a five-year-old kid playing in front of your box TV that you didn't want to play against because they're just a villain and you can't ever beat them, and it's the end game, the boss mode. It feels like a 2005 defense as Gruden is still coaching. But I'm going to let you continue your point. Sorry for interrupting.
No, you're all good. I'm just saying they're elite. They deserve all the
All the flowers.
All the respect within the NFL community. Because they're just starting to figure themselves out.
Yeah.
And look, I know the secondary's young. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a stud. That dude is a monster.
He's been playing well.
I think it's him and Jalen Johnson who are in contention for Defensive Rookie of the Year. It's those two. And they've been playing great. Both of them. Both of them, I think, deserve to...
I'd say Chase Young. He's been hurt, though, so I'll give it to you.
Chase Young's been hurt. I think if Chase Young was healthy, it's a totally different conversation.
Yeah, it's a runaway.
But even if you want to throw Chase Young in there, it's those three guys.
Yeah, I would agree.
You look at Carlton Davis, leading the league, tied for the league lead in picks. Carlton Davis has played unbelievable
in
the middle of last year. So has Sean Murphy Bunting.
Yeah.
So has Jamel Dean. These guys are all guys who have had, I'm not going to say great starts to their career. These are guys who struggled right when they got there. But that's not really all their fault. When you're coming into a team that's coached by Dirk Cutter, or you're coming in and it's your first year and you have Todd Bowles calling your plays.
Right.
Todd Bowles is a defensive genius.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it earlier, his defensive system, it's not real cookie cutter. It's some serious stuff, and it takes a little while to pick up. And I know I said earlier it takes a little while for younger guys to pick it up. It takes a while for any guy who's starting to play in the Todd Bowles system to pick it up. So you got all these guys coming in. They're young, but they're really starting. They've all developed so nicely, and they're all playing so well. Carlton Davis has not allowed a receiving touchdown this year on guys he's covered.
He's been awesome. I mean, he changed the game. I actually, was it Jamel Dean who had the pick six, or was it Carlton Davis that changed the game against the Packers?
Jamel Dean had a pick six.
Yeah,
and then Michael Davis had a pick six.
Okay,
me, he had a pick.
Well, and their secondary, they're flying around, they're making plays, and in large part it's this hand-in-hand thing where the front seven is creating pressure and forcing quarterbacks to let the ball go before they want to, and then the secondary is taking advantage of that. And you may be right, it may just not stop. I do worry a little bit about Tom Brady. This offensive line has held up pretty well in front of him, but... You know, it has been great with the quick game and the underneath stuff. The deep ball has been solid, but the stuff that we count on Tom Brady to do, it's like we're watching a different quarterback in a lot of ways. So for the Raiders, just getting back on track with this game, who, by the way, I do believe that the Raiders are a dog at home, 3.5-point dogs. What can they do defensively to potentially put some pressure on Tom Brady?
I think the biggest thing is that Tom Brady, that's kind of... hurt him his whole career because he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But just get pressure. Get pressure in his face. Get to him. Try your best to get Max Crosby and Cleveland Farrell and those guys coming off the edge. You've got to find ways to get those you've got to find ways to free those guys up and get them in one-on-one situations. Now, Jonathan Abram was placed on the COVID list, so that is going to hurt. I hopefully he avoids it and comes off it, because obviously you don't wish that upon anybody to have contracted that in this time. But the reality is that they are probably going to miss him this week, because this game is on Sunday. It's 4 days away.
Yeah.
So I think losing him is big. Losing Abram is big. He's been called the human missile.
Yeah, it's the tone setter.
He's a hitter, and he'll come at you, and he's not afraid of anybody. So losing him hurts. So I think the biggest thing for the Raiders is that, as I feel like I'm a broken record because I've said it for four different teams tonight, but just get pressure. Find ways to scheme it up. Get to Tom Brady. That's how you're going to beat this team. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think you mentioned it. The Bucs O-line has held up really, really well. I don't think they're necessarily going to have to worry. As good as I think Max Crosby is, the only team that's really given Tom Brady trouble defensively, really getting in his face, has been the Bears. And
yeah,
we know the Bears. Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, both of those guys are game
changers. Yeah, it's a problem.
Eddie Jackson is a game changer. Those guys are like all in the top two or three for best at their position in the NFL. The Raiders don't have any guys like that.
Yeah.
So we saw what the Bears did to the Bucs offense, and the Bears do that to a lot of teams' offenses. But it's going to be really hard for the Raiders because they don't have a guy like Khalil Mack, who can change the game like that. If only they had a guy like that who could.
Most teams would like that. You know, they traded that guy away. But I actually think it kind of worked out for both teams in the long run.
It did. It did. It worked out okay. I just wanted to take a little
Shot. Just a little rib shot. So are we thinking Tampa or are we thinking the Raiders here in this one? I think I know the answer.
I'm thinking Tampa. I think Oakland can make it interesting in the first half. I just don't think they have firepower to keep up. They're still a young team that's still building, so they still do have holes. And they might be missing their entire all-star offensive line.
Yeah.
And they're arguably the best player on their defense. So that's a big deal. That's gonna be tough to overcome.
Yeah.
So I'm rolling with Tampa Bay. Even if Oakland was fully healthy and fully loaded, I'd still roll with Tampa Bay. But given the situations, I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Okay.
No chance I'm taking Oakland.
Yeah, and I didn't think so. Justin.
Tampa.
Will. Yeah, the Raiders are coming off a bye week. Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and Henry Ruggs put up some pretty good numbers against the Chiefs the previous week. I do like Coach John Gruden, but I think Tom Brady finds a way and wins.
Sad. I was going to push for the Raiders here. It's just one of those things where it's like the best part of the Raiders team has been negatively impacted by COVID, and then there's just really not much that you can get excited about other than that offensive line and then what it enables their offense to do. So, yeah, I just don't see the route for it. I think Tampa gets this game. It feels like the customary Tampa loses, gets angry, goes on a three-game tear, then loses again. I feel like that's just going to kind of be a trend for this team. And I've got nothing to back that up. That's just kind of what I think is going to happen. We were supposed to do this New England game versus San Francisco, which is very spicy. Unfortunately, though, we have run out of time. Henry, thank you for coming on and spending your time with us this evening. You can find his work at the Waiver Wire Podcast on all streaming platforms. Be well, my man.
Thank you, Payne. Always a pleasure.
All right, that was Henry Schleiser. Run It Up will continue after a quick ad break. This is WKGN Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. All right, finishing up the show on Thursday, all the games that are of real talking value have been talked about. So we're just going to kind of lightning fire through the rest of the slate. I went 9-5 last week. I don't think you guys did as well.
I went 7-7.
Yeah.
7-7 as well.
Ha! Idiots!
Let's simmer down over there on the other side of the table.
That's fair. You're very smart individuals, gentlemen and scholars. Detroit at Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. Will Justin fall for the trap?
No. I picked against the Falcons last week and they finally won, but Detroit also won last week, so against a bad Jaguars team. But I'll go with Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions.
Matt Stafford homecoming back in Georgia?
I'm going to ride with Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. Riding with the 1-5 team. Cool. I've got Atlanta down. I'm going to gain a game here, though. Give me Detroit. Cleveland at Cincinnati. On to Cincinnati. The Browns trying to bounce back. They are a three-point favorite.
Cleveland, Cincinnati's not a good team, unlike the team they played last week and got stomped by. Therefore, they win.
Yeah, both teams are coming off a loss. And so I'm going to ride with Joe Burrow on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Browns. Big game for...
You sound enthused. You sound really convicted.
Well, there's a lot of injury stuff going on with Cleveland. People are saying they need to trade Odell, which I don't know why that rumor continues to persist. I'm going to go with the Browns for whatever reason, hesitantly. Buffalo at New York. Icky.
Buffalo is a 13-point favorite in this game, and they should cover.
That's many. That's several points.
Go with the Jets. Not the Jets.
No, you said it.
Yeah, go with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills by at least two touchdowns.
Watch the Jets win this week.
Yeah. They will not.
Joe Flacco returns to elite status. Okay, Will?
Yeah, Adam Gase and the Jets are just sad and terrible to watch.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, to put it bluntly, yes.
Give me Josh Allen and Buffalo Bills. And also, tickets for this game is also low as $55.
For a game in which seats are extraordinarily...
In a pandemic?
Limited. Yeah, exactly. there's nothing else to add. Buffalo. Josh Allen's not been great lately, but it's the Jets. Dallas at Washington. It just keeps getting better.
Dallas, Red Rifle.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
Sure. Cool.
I was going back and forth on this game, so I'm going to ride with the Cowboys.
I can't pick the team that's like, our coaching staff has no idea what they're doing to the media publicly. That's a bad sign.
But the other team's the Washington football team.
This is just awesome.
They have no mascot, Peyton.
And apparently they will not, through 2021, as the team announced the other day. They will probably not have a name resolved by the end of next year. I don't know why this is so hard. Naming rights might be difficult. I don't care. Washington football team's kind of cool, though. I kind of hope they do keep it. I'm going to go with Washington.
The Washington football team would be cool if like the logos and the uniforms surrounding them were better, but instead they just a generic expansion team off of Madden that like the computer generated.
Because they're going to get the W.
Are they? They don't get very many.
Okay, a team that does. Green Bay coming off a loss. It was not pretty. They're at Houston, who's been playing better ball since they fired the butt chin.
Green Bay, even though Houston has looked pretty good the last 2 weeks, they took the Titans to overtime last year, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers last week, yes.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers has another game like he does last week. I think he bounces back to MVP format.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will bounce back in Houston. My pick is the Packers.
I am going to go with Green Bay, although Robert, apparently it's pronounced Tunyon, not Tanyan, as Green Bay released a press release today that said it's pronounced Tunyon like Funyon instead of Onion. I don't know why they chose Funyon specifically. Maybe it's because, you know.
Which is just a expansion upon the word onion, but yeah, sure, go ahead.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, it's like, why did you say Fun? We should start calling him Robert Funyon, though. So I'm gonna lean towards Green Bay, but I do think Houston has a fighting chance. Would not be surprised if this game is close. Green Bay is the 3.5-point favorite. We got to go turbo through the last four. Kansas City at Denver. Man, the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite against a Denver team at home.
KC, but they don't cover.
Yeah, they're both coming off both wins. So Patrick Mahomes will do Patrick Mahomes things. So he gets it done in Mile High Stadium, so I'm going with Kansas City.
Always can get behind Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes things. I don't think the Chiefs will cover. I do think this is a good game. Tim Patrick, where did he come from? But he's balling out. Drew Lock back. But I do think the Chiefs win, although feels like one of their classic sleepwalk games. San Francisco at New England.
49ers.
I'm going with Cam Newton and the Patriots.
Give me the Niners. Jacksonville at the Chargers.
Chargers, and Herbert goes for 300+.
Bolt up.
I went with the Chargers last week, and they lost. So I still believe in the Minshew mania, so I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
What?
Ride with the Jags. You heard it here first.
And tickets are low as $32 as well.
Okay. Sure. He wants to get the ticket prices back up for the Wait, this game's at Los Angeles. They're selling tickets for this game?
Yes.
Wow. How the turntables. Okay, Chargers.
Wow.
Wow. Monday Night Football, Chicago at the Los Angeles Football Rams.
Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with Nick Foles in Chicago.
Give me the Rams. There's nothing good about Chicago aside from their defense. I do think there are good things on both sides of the football for the Rams. Although I do fear for the life of Andrew Whitworth, who is 39, having to block Khalil Mack. Yikes. Run it up. That's the show, everybody. We'll run it back tomorrow. I think we got a little bit better today. Nothing else to say after that.
I thought it was good.
Okay. That's a good sign. All right, then. Bye-bye.